Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now back to the show.
So we are here today with George and Nancy Hensley. Would you all do me the favor? It's called slating. So I'm going to say, Nancy, would you spell your name and say your name into the mic for the audience, please?
All right. I'm Nancy, N-E-N-C-Y, Hensley, H-E-N-S-L-E-Y.
Beautiful. And George, would you do the same, please?
Sure. I'm George Hensley, George, G-E-O-R-G-E, H-E-N-S-L-E-Y.
Perfect. And Nancy, you are going to speak so beautifully right into that mic for us today. I'm not going to wave my hand at you once. That's my goal, okay?
All right.
Promise now?
Do my best.
All right. So we are so glad to have you with us here today, the day before our 27th wedding anniversary. George and Nancy, they say they're newlyweds. They've only been together for 62 short years.
Wonderful years.
Wonderful years, right? And it felt like just a couple of minutes. And so we're thrilled to have you here. And you all are the proud parents of one of Kim's best friends. So maybe you want to tell a little bit of that story, Kim, of how we got to have the Hensleys with us today.
Well, my dear friend Leslie, her parents who are here with us today, Nancy and George, are definitely kick-ass, because all I've heard over all these years is so many wonderful stories and just so many endearing moments that you all have shared together as a married couple, but also as a family. And when we were thinking about having guests on here, I just kept coming back to the two of you because I've heard so many wonderful things and I've gotten to know you over the years as well, and just felt like you would add so much wisdom and experience to this podcast. So I'm grateful for my friendship with your beautiful daughter and so excited that we can have both of you here today to share your 62 years. And I'm sure it's been more than that, even when you add dating and all the time you've known each other. So
yeah, we were long distance romance for 5 years before we got married. She lived in Florida and I lived in North Carolina, and we went to different schools. I went to Duke, she went to Florida State. So we saw each other 3 or 4, maybe 5 times a year over these 5 years.
Wow.
But it was a lot of fun going up to Duke University, and he'd come down to Florida State, and it was a fun kind of time to be growing up.
Sounds like a great romance, and we look forward to getting into that. So Kim mentioned this, but I'm going to kind of kick us off here with the first question. And of course, we both want you to answer this, so we can go ladies first or gentlemen first. Y'all can decide. But I would like to know, in your own words, what do you think makes you two a kick-ass couple?
Wow. Well, I think the most important thing to us is that the Lord God has been the cornerstone of our lives for both of us.
Right in. There you go.
Okay.
That was, will you say that again, Nancy? Because I think that's a great comment. Yeah. Please share that with us again.
Okay. George and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and that He is the cornerstone of our marriage and our lives. We have a little saying that we share often. It's this: each for the other both for God. And it means a great deal to both of us. It's a little saying that's been in my family way back to my grandparents. And we have had it through my parents' years and engraved in their rings and in George's ring and in mine. And George will tell you how it feels to him.
Well, yes. Of course, I had no idea about that motto, shall I call it, for our life, marriage, until we were married, and I found out about that. And I am pleased to say that it's engraved in my ring. And it really, when we look at that type of structure of each for the other, it really sets up for us exactly that. I want the best for her. She wants the best for me. And we both want, under that structure, to be under the framework of our faith. So that's the basis that we have gone through these 62 years.
Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice and incredibly meaningful. Thank you for sharing that. That's going to become a quote that we will share with others, so all of our listeners will hear. And, you know, in faith, Kim and I, the lens we look through in our platform is that this woman sitting to my left is my number one human relationship. And people go, well, wait a minute, what do you mean it's number one? I say it's the human relationship because my father, Heavenly Father, is before all that. And she would say the same thing. And we've told our kids, listen, faith comes first. And then this relationship is more, and then the kids come after that, and then you kind of spread out from there. So wonderful advice. Thank you for sharing that great pearl.
And I love that that's been passed down from generation to generation. I think that that's really special. And yes, that is definitely a quote that we are going to be using from here on out. I love it. I wanted go back a little bit before we move forward and talk about some other things in your relationship. I'd like to go backward with each of you. And that is, I believe that we are the product, in many cases, of the people who raised us. And those role models that we had when we were young have a really big impact on who we become. And they have a really big impact on what we bring to our relationship when we get involved with another person. And so I'm curious, I'm going to ask you first, Nancy, what did love look like in your family when you were growing up? How was it expressed to you and maybe even between your parents?
I thought my parents had the perfect marriage. They seemed to love each other and hold hands, and they were not people that fussed at each other. They didn't yell at each other. And that, I found, helped so much in a relationship. You need to cool off before you spout off. And I think that's what they did. What would you say, George?
Well, my answer to that would be, of course, was blessed to have Christian parents. My father was a postmaster in my hometown, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and that was wonderful as well. She read the Bible before supper in the evening, and we attended church. Actually, my dad attended a Methodist church. My mother attended the Baptist church in town. That was interesting. But sometimes I would go with him, usually. But he would go to the Baptist Sunday school class. But let me get beyond that, because really what happened is, within our home, they had a very Christian relationship. My father was very gentle. I did not ever hear them have any arguments or fussing at all between, at all. And so whatever may have gone on behind the scenes, that was not the kids were not included in that at all. My father was very I'm going to say, gentle and caring for the women in his life. My mother passed away when I was 14. She had cancer and died when she was 50 years old. Wow. But even before that, and even the reason I'm here at all, my dad had married young, at like age 22, to a young lady in the town that was a teacher in my hometown. But she died a year later in childbirth, along with the child. And so he was, and my mother was his second wife, you know, some 4 or 5 years later about that. And then his second wife passed away when they were both 50 years old. And then he remarried again, and to a third person who was a wonderful lady, my stepmother. I remember writing her a letter, welcoming her into our home. And it meant a lot to me to have a full home again. So, and it was a wonderful experience growing up in the 40s and the 50s. That's a great time to grow up in this country. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
I would say one more thing about this communication with spouses, that you need to be careful what you say. Words really matter, and they can really hurt. And I think when you try to build up the person you're talking with instead of tearing them down, be careful how you say things.
Sure.
But then you also have to learn how to listen and be true to that other, to your spouse.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nancy, can you think of any examples when you were growing up with your parents, your mom or your dad or them together? What did you see them express towards each other? When you were a child looking at your parents, what did you see? How did you see them treat each other, or how did they then treat you in that relationship when you were coming up?
I found it a very warm relationship of holding hands and doing things together, going on trips. They took me all kinds of places as I was young and then a teenager. Our house was like a haven. You come home from being out in the world, whatever your world was, and that it was calm and peaceful, made me feel loved and taken care of.
Are there things from that relationship that you brought to this relationship? It could be, you know, just something special and positive that you learned as a young girl and have brought that to the relationship that you have now. Is there anything that you can think of?
Well, I know what George does, and I guess my dad did it too, was to just be, I might be in the kitchen slaving over family dinner and things are not going very well, a little peck on the cheek or a little pat to say, you don't have to say anything. Just those little gestures help you know that person really cares about me. And it makes all the difference in how the rest of the evening goes.
Sure.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, those little things mean a lot. And that kind of leads into kind of our next question. We're gonna focus a little bit on we have something that we call the three C's. You can see a sheet that's in front of you, and we believe that there's 13 and maybe even 14 coming around the corner here. Another one that we missed, but we think there's kind of 13 critical qualities that need to be in a relationship and be well expressed for that relationship to work. And of those 13, we have the three C's, and those three C's are commitment, communication, which you spoke about earlier, and conflict resolution. So I want to start with commitment, and I want to say, George, I'm going to ask you to start. What does commitment look like in your relationship with Nancy?
Well, I'm glad you suggested that as a question to me, because I had selected that as being one area that I really focused on. Mm-hmm. And so let me just tell you that commitment really goes back to the very words of I do, And so if you look at that, the wedding ceremony and the traditional ceremony that we had, you know, it was certainly that, the commitment that till death do us part. But it also, I think, for me, flows all the way through this each for the other, both for God situation, because you make that commitment to commit to your wife, to want the very best for her. And for me, that means that I'm looking out for ways that I can be helpful to her in the home. And it gives me a great deal of pleasure to realize that she does the cooking and I get to clean up, you know, and we get done at the same time. You know, we get out of the kitchen at the same time. I'm not sitting around waiting for her to do that. And I may help before some, but I always, the commitment of saying, you know, I'm committed to you. There's no question about my trust in you. There's absolutely no question about, you know, that you're the one I'm not going to be with or anyone else but you in our life. And we have that commitment of really wanting the very best for each other and the very best in our home. Means that we certainly talk about maybe some things we want to do, and we may not agree with that, but we work it out. And so the commitment is, I am truly committed to her in all respects, and I have the highest respect and love for her.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
All right, Nancy, so
now,
what is it?
That make me feel good.
Yeah, I'm smiling over here,
I
too.
Know. Same. That was precious.
And I want to remember all that. And I
He'll just keep telling
much.
You. He's just going to keep telling you, Nancy. I have a feeling. Well, my sense is you hear it often.
I do. Every morning, we sit down and have a breakfast together. And I know that's not a popular thing these days. Everybody's so very busy. But just to hold hands for a few minutes and say a prayer. And he always tells me that he loves me and thanks me for whatever is going on in our lives. So I hope I fulfill all of that for him as well.
How does that make you feel?
I walk with my shoulders up.
Yes.
I have a happy attitude. I feel so loved that I can, I know one other thing. It's that trust that I have in him in all aspects of a married life. And when you have trust, you have a peace that's in your heart that makes you feel like you can do anything. You can take life in whatever form it happens to come.
Sure.
Where were we?
When a spouse validates us and just reaffirms their commitment, their love, when they express that to us, like you said, you just stand up tall and proud, and it makes us feel safe. It makes us feel secure, and it makes us feel that we are solid in our relationship with each other. And I love to hear that, because I don't think enough people do that. Not enough people start their day with those expressions, or even end their day with those expressions for each other. But that's what lifts us up and keeps us going and really makes us want to work together and be a team.
One of the things I like to do is I like to go in and say, how can I help? You know, and there may not be anything that she wants me to do, what it says to me is, I really want to know if I can help relieve some of your day. Can I relieve what you're doing and in some way? And she may say, yeah, I'd like for you to do this or that, you know, and it's a simple thing. Maybe it takes a few seconds or whatever.
Trash, yeah.
But my point is that what I'm saying to her is, I love you very much, and I would like to know if there's some way I can help you. You know, whatever you're doing, can I help at all?
Sure.
And she may have something that I can do, but to me, it says, I'd like to help if I can because I love you and I want to relieve some of your work level.
George, I want to tell you, so I've been doing I have a keynote speech, and the keynote speech is the three C's of kick-ass relationships. And the three C's we're talking about, commitment being the first one. And one of the examples I give in that keynote is I say to people, here's a small thing you can do to show your commitment for your spouse. I go, words are great, but action is better. So I say, what one thing can you think about doing? And if you don't know, ask your spouse. Say, what's a small chore or domestic responsibility or something that you got to do that you don't like doing that I can take off your plate and do for you to help lighten your load? So you just beautifully, what you just said is going to be repeated and shown, because that illustrates, it's small, but it's significant because it shows your commitment to your spouse, because out of love, you're saying, tell me what I can do to make your day a little brighter, a little lighter, or a little easier. And that concept, whether it's cleaning the dishes, taking out the trash, making the bed, walking the dog, sweeping the floor, doesn't really matter what it is. It may not be a chore. Maybe it's just sitting next to you and putting your arm around her, right? But whatever it is, if she said, this is what I'd appreciate, it's your willingness to accept that and do it for her. So I love that example because it's so true. And I think if more men and women could follow that lead in their relationships, the impact, as I see Nancy smiling and kind of just saying, she's snuggling into that couch over there a little bit, that she feels it and appreciates it. So thank you for sharing that. It's a beautiful example.
Well, and I think the more that you do that for Nancy, the more she is going to want to cook for you and do all those special things for you.
Lemon meringue pies are very, very good.
There you go. There you go. But it's her pleasure to do that for you because you're pouring into her and she's just going to automatically want to give back to you. It's a two-way street.
It gives you more space within your soul to be kind and loving to other people as well as to your spouse, to your children. You're not always upset.
Yeah. Sure. Gives you a lot of room. Good.
Well, and that's a great segue into our second of the three C's, which is communication. And I'm sure that has changed over the years with you a lot. So when you're young and you have young children and you're busy, I know you've been a prior mayor to a city in Florida, and that's a demanding job. And your wife's raising children, and those are the years that I feel like it's difficult to communicate because it's hard to find the time, hard to find the space to communicate. So I'm curious if we could just get a little view into what communication has looked like for you sort of over the years.
Well, we did take those marriage courses that they have, especially one in which we did a lot of practice on communicating. And listening skills were so important. And I think we both really worked at that. And so, you know, it's okay to get kind of mad about something if you say, okay, well, now let's just sit down here and talk about this thing and see what we can do to compromise or understand where the other person's coming from. It just helps so much. And it's okay to take those courses and learn little techniques that help make communication important and easier.
Sure.
And I think that we need that we feel like we need to come to those communication times when there's something that needs to be said that needs to be cleared up, that you come to that willing to listen and interact with that rather than coming with some chip on your shoulder about it or feeling like, oh, well, here we go again type of thing. But no, there's something that needs to be said, and I need to, and I think she feels the same way, that I need to be listening to that, and I need to be able to nobody's mad, nobody's angry about the situation. We just need to clear something up that occurred or may occur, and so we just need to come to that we know we're gonna both lean into it and make it and resolve it.
Sure.
before something really bad happens, or
right.
that you come in there with some anger about it and say, oh, here she goes again. You know, no, that's not the way. You need to come to, for us, we need to come to that in a way that's engaging.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now.
I love what you both said. I love that you said we need to lean into it.
Yeah.
And Nancy, you said we need to seek to understand. And both of those are critical places to come from in order to communicate well. So leaning into it and trying to understand what's really going on here, because we always laugh because we say it's never really about taking out the trash. It has nothing to do with that. There's always something deeper and more powerful behind it that's triggering that person to be really upset. So I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. Leaning into whatever's going on, really wanting to hear and to listen and to try to understand what's really happening.
I could give you a story, and I don't know if you want this time, but a little bit. Right after we were married and we had our first child in the first year, Beth was born, and we were living in New Jersey, and I had some friends, and we'd like to go play miniature golf, and so one evening we decided to do that, and we did. And I left home, and when I came back, Nancy was sitting in the living room with a load of clean diapers that she was getting ready to fold.
In the days before disposable diapers.
Okay,
most of our listeners say, what's a cloth diaper?
Hold
on.
Well, 62 years ago, it was
a big deal.
So I walked in, and it was not a pretty scene. It wasn't particularly anything said.
That's right.
But she was, I could tell, I needed to listen. And so she was sitting there, and then before she really started saying anything, and she started throwing cloth diapers at me across the room.
A diaper.
And another thing.
And then I started throwing them back. And so I realized that I needed to listen. I'm not going to be going out with the guys when she's home folding diapers anyway more. But anyway, so we started throwing them back and forth, and then it became just a laughter of all. I mean, there were diapers flying, there were diapers in the floor, and so that ended up with a lot of laughs and a few kisses.
And we still talk about it.
Yeah, we do.
Of course.
Every
once in a while, we might say, watch out, I may start throwing diapers, you know. It really cools the things down.
Sure, I love
all
it.
All right, well, and so isn't that conflict?
Yeah, well, hold on, but Nancy, you said something earlier, Kim, and so I want to go back to, because I want to go forward with that idea. You said lean in, George, and you know what? There's kind of three stances or positions you can be in a relationship. The first is leaning in, because usually when you're leaning in, you want to get close and it's loving, right?
Yeah.
You can lean away, and leaning away means, I don't get away, right? I don't want to talk. I'm not engaging. And then the third is leaning against, like I'm preparing for battle, and just you try to come get me, right? So, and we're all in those positions at different times in our life. The best marriages, there's some times you're like, I don't want to hear, don't talk to me now, No. Or, you're going to say that? Well, guess what? We're going to battle over this issue, right? But leaning in is love.
Yes.
It's respect.
Yes.
And then, Nancy, you said compromise. And compromise, you know, before you're married, it's me and it's you. But after marriage, it's us. And to get to us, there's always compromise. Can either of you think about an example in your marriage and your relationship where compromise has come in and been something that you've had to work with each other or just maybe on yourself? Like how have you guys felt like you've had to compromise much in your 62 years together?
No, I don't think so, and I'm really just trying to think about times at that. I feel that our value system, number one, and our desire to the things we like to do together, the things we buy, the interests we have are fairly consistent, the same. So I'm not sure that there's a lot of areas that I can point to that we really felt like we had to compromise on. Nancy may have some different ideas that I don't know about. I may find out about here. But anyway, I just can't put my finger on it. I really had to compromise about that. Maybe, I don't know, Nancy? What do you think?
I'm thinking. you know, husband and wife have to have their own space sometimes. And for George, his big thing is to play golf. Oh. And I've found that we talk about our time and what we've got to do and what we want to do, and I know he wants to play golf, and I have other things I'd like to do. And so we figure that out and without getting mad, and I'm not resentful. As long as I'm not home feeling like Cinderella, like keeping three little girls and having to do the laundry and vacuum the house and whatever, all the work kind of things.
Folding diapers.
While husband was out having fun with the guys. So that kind of a situation doesn't last very long in our family, our relationship.
And I try to be very sensitive about that as well. Absolutely. No question about that. I can sense when I really don't need to go do that today. You know,
sure.
I need to go do this. Stay here.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The next of our three C's is conflict resolution. And I'm sure that over 62 years of marriage, there have been times when there's been some conflict.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the nature of a relationship. I think that we have peaks and valleys throughout our relationship. We're growing, we're learning. And conflict resolution is a part of a good conflict resolution is a part of marriage.
Absolutely.
And so I'm curious, and either one of you can take this question first. How have you resolved conflict in your marriage when there's been conflict? What are some tools, some ideas? What are some ways that when things get a little heated and you're upset, what are some ways that you work with each other?
I don't really know how to answer that, but I do know that it helps if I know I've hurt George's feelings by some whatever I've done or said, that I can throw my arms around his neck and say, "I'm so sorry. I didn't either realize what I was saying or just whatever it was," but to just let it all out, say what you got to say, and then forgive each other, forget about it, and learn from your mistakes and move on. Mm.
And for me, I think this the same area, you know, to be able to say, "I'm sorry, I really am sorry. Let me try to tell you where I was coming from when I said what I did or I did what I did, so you can, you know, we can understand it together. And I am sorry, and I realize that I should have done something else." So I guess the issue is being willing to forgive one another, okay, as well as to apologize and to try to and to try to come together. They say you should never go to bed married. Or, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. You should never go to bed mad.
Right.
You always want to go to bed married, okay? Yes. All right, let me clear that up right now. You never go to bed mad or angry with one another, and I think that's true. Deal with it while it's on the surface and don't let it fester, I think, is a way to go that. Whether you do it conscientiously or not, or you just, you know, let's, you know, okay, well, I'm sorry that I did that, or I'm sorry I said that. And, you know, so let's see how we can work it out.
So I hear you saying you're owning your mistakes or your stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, this is what I did. Or maybe you just interpret what somebody says the wrong way. It can be as simple as that. But just acknowledging it and then apologizing. And I think apologies are so important.
Sure. Oh, they are.
Sincere apologies mean everything to your spouse. And I feel like people don't do that enough. They don't own their mistakes and they don't say, I'm really, truly sorry. Because if this is your number one relationship, if this is your priority, then it should be easy to say, I apologize for, and lay it out, whatever it was.
And I think that comes from being unselfish as well. You know, you don't have to be all about me. You know, it's about us.
Yeah, and that's one of our pillars.
Yeah.
Selflessness. I mean, it's important to have that in your relationship.
That's each for the other and both for God. That's
the motto right there.
It always feeds into all of these.
Sure, and that's kind of a great segue. So as we have those pillars in front of you, right? We have those 13, and we've talked about a few, and you all have mentioned them, but I'd love to hear, Nancy, maybe from you first, as you look over that list, outside of the three C's, we've given those some good play today, what other of those are most meaningful to you and why? If you had to say, gosh, this has special meaning to me or our relationship because, which one would pop off the page for you there?
Well, when I studied these when I was at home, I picked out communication as one of the ones that meant the most to me. I didn't think about the rest of them.
That's
so
okay.
Carefully.
All right.
But being patient with each other is so important. You know, we're just humans. We make mistakes. Our tongues get in our way sometimes, and we say things that we shouldn't say. And having a time for each other, I don't know whether that comes in to maybe the intimacy, being sure that you've got time to really be together and not be interrupted by whatever else is going on, like cell phones and
and
TV.
Distractions.
Yeah, a lot of things can get in the way of that intimate time. And at every stage, I mean, intimacy is expressed a lot of different ways. You all mentioned earlier, I think it was beautiful about just, you said, you know, he'll just pat or put his arm on me or hold my hand. And those are all ways of intimacy, you know, and most young guys and, you know, men in general kind of get saddled with intimacy means sex. And it can, and it might,
and it should,
right? Well, okay, okay, Nancy, we're on the same page here. Okay,
it should, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I agree.
We may be old, but
yeah, I agree with that. But it's not the only, and
that's,
I think,
right,
that
right.
Men have many men. I won't say all men, but many men have an opportunity to learn. There's a lot of ways to express intimacy, and the more intimate a woman feels that she's, you know, one of the people we interviewed, they're a marriage therapist couple, and we were talking about intimacy, and she goes, intimacy is into me, you see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
into me.
Good.
Yeah, and I, George, you probably knew where I was going. You probably heard that before, but I never heard it expressed that way, and it really is, when someone feels like the other person is really seeing into them and gets them, that's when you're closest, and that's when the best things happen.
Well, once in a while we'll get asked to speak at a wedding or maybe at a rehearsal dinner or something. Somebody will say, well, you know, have something to say to the bride and groom or whatever, and always come up with the issue of each for the other, both for God, but also say keep romance in your marriage.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really important. Keep romance in your marriage. And there's a lot of ways to do that. It's not just the sex. There's a lot of little ways you could keep romance in your marriage.
So if you had to give us an example, George, what's one thing that you've done or that what's one of those little ways that you could share with our listeners of how to keep romance in your relationship?
Well, start out the day with a kiss, okay? Number one.
Just one?
I'll actually say a proper kiss.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the
get on to it.
That
okay.
Means a smooch.
A real smooch.
Okay.
And then several during the day, as well as just walking by and just a little pat on the shoulder, on the back, or maybe a little on the tush, you know, can kind of say, I'm here, you know, and I love you. I'm just walking
by. And the
by.
Other thing is, you say things that indicate that. You now don't. I don't know how to say this. That you're my best friend. I want to be with you, and that says a lot.
And I'll say, how about a little drive-by kiss here? You know, we'll just go by. You're sitting there, and I call them drive-by kisses.
I like that. I got one of those earlier today.
That's right. She's getting ready. I said, hey, I didn't get my kiss.
I didn't get my
ring.
Kiss. Yeah.
I said, and George, I'm going to give you another tip. You probably already have done this, I'd love to try to give you something. This is for you to try at home, okay? Make sure the next time you kiss, you hold it for at least 7 seconds. Because the 7 seconds, you know, seven's a great number for a lot of reasons.
7 second rule?
7 second kiss. Don't let go. Keep that kiss for 7 seconds and see how you feel about it after that, okay?
That would be what I would call a good proper kiss.
A good smooch. So we're going to call the proper kiss or the smooch, as Nancy said.
The
7 second hold. Those are the
like
best
that.
Kind.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so.
All right. I have one other thing.
Sure.
You got to laugh a lot.
Got to have fun, right?
And you know, that's
got to have fun.
That's the pillar we're missing that we've been told a few times. You have to have fun together, right? You got to play together. And you really have to have that joy and laughter in your marriage. And that's the pillar that we're missing. So this is soon to be 14 pillars. But I think playing together and having fun together. And I know from what I know about the two of you, you all do a lot of that. You travel together. You have a lot of special family time. You gather. And there's a lot of joy and a lot of fun happening in your relationship. So that's right.
One of the other pillars that I picked up on is trust. And honesty. I think that we've talked about total trust with one another, no question about that, but honesty as well. You know, you don't want to, there, and that's even different from not just outright lying about something, but it's also, I think, being honest with your finances with one another, being honest with where you're going, honest with, you know, what's going on. Just don't gloss over something that you're trying to hide in any some way. Just be honest with and know then that she's being honest with me and I'm being honest with her. You know, we in our finances, we very, very clearly know with one another where we are financially and what we spend and what we spend it on. And, you know, I don't have things hidden away some storeroom someplace, you know, that I bought or whatever. You know, honesty is a key point for me.
Sure.
Be very honest with one another.
I agree with you.
And I think you hit on something really important. Hiding things from a spouse. You may think you're doing it temporarily or for a little while, but I really believe the truth is always revealed. It is going to come up and it's going to surface and it's going to be a detriment to your relationship. So just be honest, be open, be truthful.
It's hard for even me to say, well, I walk in the door with a Christmas gift, you know, then she realizes I got this box in my hand and what do you got?
What is that?
I kind of dance around that a lot. I may not totally lie, but it's pretty close. Well,
White lie.
Yeah, I tell the only white lie I told Kim, and she knows I've never lied to her, and I never will. And the only time is when, you know, for example, we celebrated our anniversary last weekend. She's, well, we're going out to Maynard, the Airstream, right away when she flew into town. I said, well, we're going somewhere, but that's, and you know, and I dance, and she goes, oh, okay, all right, I'm not supposed to know, or it's a gift, it's a surprise, yeah, but the only time I've ever told those white lies is when I'm planning something special, and I'm trying to keep it a surprise, so no, I think
that's okay.
I think we have permission, right? You give us a whole pass on that, Nancy?
A bit of that. Yeah, that's right.
Big pass.
All right. Works both ways, and we just talked about dance, by the way. We like to say that we enjoy dancing, physically dancing, but you know, we have what I call the dance of life. The dance of life. We're enjoying the dance of life together.
Well, it sure is obvious that that's happening. And so we have a couple more questions before we wrap up here. But and I'm going to say, you know, Kim and I have a phrase that we throw around, and it's called spillover thinking. And obviously, I mean, just from talk, if we didn't know you and we'd only met you today, just in what you've shared in the last few minutes, we can tell that there's a lot of success and a lot of love and a lot of joy. So I'd like you guys to each tell me, how do you think the success of this relationship over the last 62 years has spilled over? Who else has been a beneficiary of the strength and goodness of your relationship? Who else has been impacted by your love and success?
Well, it's very humbling to realize that people are watching and they see what kind of people we are. We see what kind of people they are, too. So I'm hoping that they see us for our faith and our commitment to each other and the joy of our lives being together. And I hope that spilled over to our children. Absolutely. And to our grown grandchildren. And we have great grandchildren, and that we, many of them, we see a lot, and that it'll rub off on them so that they'll have a fulfilling, wonderful married life themselves.
Sure.
Well, it is quite humbling, too, as Nancy said about that. You really don't know who's watching, and you don't start, and certainly you don't go around telling people about, you ought to do this and you ought to do that and look at me, or you ought to be doing this in your marriage. But we hope that the observation may have some spill over to realize that these folks seem to be very happy. They've been married 62 years. Every once in a while, somebody will say, when I grow up, I want to be like you. And I think they're joking, but sometimes there's more truth in it than you think. That's it, you know. So, but again, I'm very humbled about it, but joyful that we do have the marriage and the relationship with each other that we have. I thank God for that almost every day.
Oh, one thing we've left out is that couples need to pray together. They need to have some quiet time together.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do together. Helps you build that bond even stronger.
Yes.
Sure.
I have one last question, and it's a fun question. If you could go back to before you were married, Nancy, and give yourself, your unmarried self, one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
I don't know.
But if you want to think about that, maybe we can let George
know
first what his advice to himself he would give, his unmarried self.
Well, it has nothing to do with marriage, so let me just say my advice would be I would certainly commit more to my studies in school and college. I would certainly say that because I was not very committed about that. And I know that doesn't have anything to do with marriage, except I guess the success. I've been feel very successful. I'm glad with that. I've had a lot of good opportunities offered to me, and I've been pleased about that. So I guess unrelated to a marriage relationship, or even a dating relationship, I can't. You know, I think that I always respected the girls that I dated, and that it was again not selfish in my dating with people. So I'm not sure there's. Other than maybe I should have studied.
I think we could all probably benefit from that advice.
Absolutely.
When I look back at those years, I think I must have been living in my own little bubble that I didn't maybe be as kind and as good a friend of people that I should have been. Though I had a lot of friends and did a lot of fun things, but I could have improved myself, I think, if I'd been just a little bit more aware of what was going on in other people's lives.
Sure. When we're young, it's hard to get out of our own way sometimes, isn't it? Well, that's good advice. Well, you all have been so kind to share your time with us today and give us kind of a glimpse.
Yeah. I want to just acknowledge both of you. I want to say thank you so much for being here today with us. But even more than that, I want to acknowledge you as a public servant in your community and thank you for that service. And Nancy, I know you have done some really wonderful things with the Children's Advocacy Center. I have that in my heart as well. It's something that I've done here in Hillsborough County. And so I just want to recognize you both for all the good that you've done within your marriage as well as outside of your marriage. And I want to wish you, George, a very happy birthday, because I know that you're going to be celebrating that with your family coming up very soon. And just thank you both so much for your time, for opening up and sharing with us and letting us have a little glimpse into your wonderful 62 years of marriage.
You've set a beautiful example for us and all of our listeners to pursue. And one day I'm going to catch you. You said unlikely, but you laid down the gauntlet, George.
Matt, I would like to be around for that, but I'm not going to be around for that.
Okay. Well, I'll have to share it with you another time then, won't I?
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
It's been a humbling experience, but I really had looked forward to it. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to just be a part of this great program that I think you have in helping couples navigate the wonderful life of marriage.
Our pleasure. Well, we look forward to seeing you all soon. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Thank you.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.